worldwide.
Live from Manchester, Ian Cheeseman joining us right here on hashtag MSW.
So that's what they'll be doing now. They'll be relaxing. They'll be telling themselves all the time, it's not over yet. Complete the job on Sunday, and then you get all the glory. And that's where City will be at the moment. But I think deep down, in the heart of hearts, they won't admit it publicly, but Arsenal must believe that the title is gone.
Hell, you know, it's coming down to the wire. It's coming down to the wire. You know, that's why we all love sport. You keep your show going. Yes, this is good. This is good.
I still maintain Arsenal is winning this league. Arsenal is winning this EPL. It's been 20 years. The time has come for us to win it.
Manchester City are out of this world. But, you know, on Sunday, I won't bet on them.
If we are to talk about the footballer of the season, the player of the season, we cannot discuss any other name but Ronwen Williams. But I hope that man has been consistent throughout the season.
Goalkeepers are also footballers. Being part of the 11 makes them eligible to then go ahead and win the overall prize.
Players who played the most and impressed the most and put in the most performances, I think Ronwen 100%.
And since many of you dated Kaizer Chiefs, no trophy in 10 years.
It's not my fault.
Sas, not your fault. 10 years.
Robert Marawa, live on 947. Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live. Hashtag MSW.
Oh, just a day to go before it is a Friday. Just a day to go before, hey, we say hello weekend. Just a day to go before it is the final round of the Premier League this weekend. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for Sunday. I don't know where you're going to be. I don't know where you're going to be watching all of these 10 games. But my, oh my, there's a level of excitement that I haven't felt in a long time, and I hope you feel it as well. 0607080484. That is your WhatsApp voice note number. Use it, don't abuse it. Oh, man. All right, let me just say a big thank you, though, to Wandile Mazibugo and Rise FM, delivering as always. It's a Thursday and his weekend begins. Catch you again on Monday, brother. Have a great weekend. Locomotion, Big Mike's Lee on the motion drive on Ivuma FM, making magic. Thank you so, so much indeed. We've got a special guest coming up after the news at the top of the hour. Maybe you can even start sending your questions or comments. I'm trying to think when last I saw him, but it's been long. It's been a long time. You know somebody when wam gcine neinwele mayibuya aw shanga empandla nechizi kopo ngazuyibona. That's where we are in terms of his journey. But I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sure you'd want to ask him a couple of questions. May Mahlangu. And it's got nothing to do with the month of May.
Good evening, Marawa. It's Marawa. I've got about three issues here. Number one is I believe Arsenal becoming the bottlers of the EPL. They messed up with the game against Aston Villa when Mikel Arteta decided to change the lineup unnecessarily so, and the team lost, and we never recovered from that. Very, very disappointed. I thought this year the young lads at Arsenal deserve to be rewarded with some medals. The second issue is about my favorite team locally, which is Kaizer Chiefs. I wonder why they are taking so long to appoint a coach. I really don't expect that from a big brand like Kaizer Chiefs. By now, the coach must be in place, watching the players playing so that he can make informed decisions on who to retain and who to move on. Very disappointed with the management at Kaizer Chiefs.
Yeah, and I'm sure they are listening. I saw on their social media pages today that they're going to be honoring, hey, Itumeleng Khune. I was happy because you don't get to see that quite often, eh, do we?
Top stories. Get the news before it's history in the morning.
Well, I'm excited to quickly give you an update in terms of the basketball and what's been going on. Look at Doncic. Scored 31 points in a triple-double, and the Dallas Mavericks beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 104-92 last night to take a 3-2 lead in the Western Conference semifinal series. Now Dallas pushed its lead right out to 18 points early in the fourth quarter before the Thunder surged. Now a three-pointer by Alexander, that's Giliojas Alexander, as they call him in his circles. Well, he cut that deficit to 89-79, and it was just under 7 minutes remaining and forced the Dallas to call a timeout. Now, the Thunder never got closer than 7 points, though, in the rest of the way. And here's the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's the coach, Bramak, as well as Ubrashai Alexander.
There's no player, regardless of where they are in their career, that doesn't struggle in the playoffs at different times throughout the course of a series. I think Doncic and Irving are a great example of that. I mean, they've had a hard time getting it going in the series until tonight, and they're as, you know, experienced as anybody. So we're going through it for the first time. We got to learn from it, but those guys are going to bounce back. They're really, really good players that we have a ton of confidence in, and we got to continue to work to try to find ways to get them, you know, in rhythm and get them involved.
There's 100% things we could have done to probably still get the game. We'll look at those. Don't want to make excuses. You can't always rely on shots falling. Don't want to make excuses. We'll look at those things and try to clean those up for next game so that even if those shots don't fall, we still have a chance.
All right, let's quickly look at what's happening on the football front now. Bayer Leverkusen manager Xabi Alonso says that his side will find it very tough to overcome Atalanta in the Europa League final. Now, currently on an extraordinary 50-match run this season, unbeaten, Leverkusen are going to be playing Gian Piero Gasperini's side, who are fifth in Serie A, in Dublin on the 22nd of May. Yet Leverkusen runaway winners, though, in the Bundesliga are a team bereft of huge names. And Alonso gives some insight, though, into having the likes of Jeremy Frimpong as well as Alejandro Grimaldo in his team.
And on the pitch, he's so special. You know, you can't find many Jeremy Frimpongs. And for us, he's very, very specialist in our system. And I think that he's like almost tailor-made system for Jerry. So we use him. Well, we use him. We need him in a very special positions, in a special moments. And that's why he's like very key player for us. And it's so important, not just for goals, for threat, for chances that he's able to create.
Well, with Alejandro, we started 1 year ago, a little bit earlier, from March, you know, and I had an idea about how big could be his impact in the team and in our style, in our development as a team. And he has overreached those expectations, the way he has adapted to our team, the way he has improved our game, in control, in our versatility, in flexible, in different systems, in different spaces. He has helped us so much. I think that the team as well, the team has helped him to show that potential that he had in his quality, in his game intelligence, and not just in numbers. I think that for us is really important as well, the influence he has in the young players, in the daily work. He's a great professional. He's so focused on his goals, and it's a great impact in the whole locker room. So really happy that we got him, and really happy to see his development as well. I hope that he's going to be nominated for the Spanish team, but we will see in the coming days.
So the Euro 2024 referees, as well as the officials, gathered in Frankfurt to take part in a pre-tournament training session. Now, this workshop took place one day after the UEFA released the news that they will ask the teams to ensure that their captain is the only player who speaks to the referee during the matches. Now, UEFA Chief Refereeing Officer Roberto Rossetti spoke about the UEFA's new referee-captain communication policy.
Because if you are asking to the supporter, fans of football, who really loves football, nobody likes when, players are protesting the referee, mobbing the referee, dissenting, this kind. It's not good. So what we wanted to leave a legacy. We are doing something all together for football. And we discussed this kind of topic with the coaches in Düsseldorf, in our workshop, and they love this. And also inside the football board, the UEFA football board, with great former players, great coaches, they want this. So we are speaking about unsporting behavior. We wanted to clean these kind of situations.
So the policy, which comes after a number of contentious decisions in recent weeks, is designed to improve communication between the officials and the players, as well as improve the image of the game. Here's the Premier League, as well as Euro 2024 referee Anthony Taylor.
It's definitely possible. Something we've already spoken about as a group of referees, and with the support of the referees committee from UEFA, certainly in the first instance, if the dissent is clear, the message is clear, it will be yellow card. That, if that continues in a clear and disrespectful way, that will continue. We've also got other tools, our personality, our man management, our use of the captain that you just alluded to, our ways of managing that situation. But certainly, if the dissent is disrespectful, it's clear, it's visible to everybody, then it's certainly possible yellow cards will follow after that. I think the protocols are clear for us, so that's certainly something we'll try to stick to in the UEFA competitions and in the Euro coming up.
Well, Ligue 1, as well as the Euro 2024 referee Clément Tupin, spoke about why players need to stop mobbing the referees, and he was also asked if bringing together the best officials around Europe will help reduce the VAR controversy.
Clearly, when you have four, five, six person around you, it's impossible to create a communication because I have to watching you, to watching you, to watching you, impossible. So one person, captain, the main person of the team, exchange some arguments, and then if he want to explain or to transmit the information to the other, it's up to him. I'm convinced that all the referees who are here, we are all focused on the competitions, and the target is clear: to leave and to play a wonderful football in June in Germany.
Previously on Marawa Sports Worldwide.
That's exactly what it's going to turn out to be. It's going to turn out to be a thriller. Man, oh man, the Premier League title race is set to go down to the wire on the final day of the season this Sunday. So Manchester City correspondent, no greater than Ian Cheeseman.
You can't take anything for granted. And City were 2-0 down against Aston Villa on the last day of the season. Villa that day didn't have anything to play for. West Ham on Sunday, in theory, won't have anything to play for. Maybe they'll play as a free spirit. Maybe they will come and try and spoil the party. But over the last few years, City's results against West Ham have been consistently very dominant.
Hashtag MSW.
Oh man, really enjoyed the conversation last night. Talking about the player of the season as well as the coach of the season, man.
For me, the footballer of the season, guys, I think we can give it to Jadon Adams. I mean, that boy has come of age. He's consistent. He was moved from that position to the position he's playing now. So I think the maturity is there. And the coach of the season, if football will be fair, Steve Barker will have it. But yeah, it's my opinion. Sure.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the debate. So, bumped into a couple of the people who are judging for these awards earlier on today. I will say nothing. Well, the saying that the league is a marathon certainly is no lie. Cape Town City know that all too well, don't they? I mean, what a campaign they've had, holding the second spot for a little bit, going to, 12 games without a win. I mean, the A-League victory over Swallows last week was literally their first in 2024. And with, 39 points now that they've managed to amass, they're still within touching distance of a top four spot, but also haven't secured a top eight finish just yet. Now, one thing that's remained very, very consistent, though, for them during this very difficult run has without a doubt been the incredible support base back at home. I don't know what they do. I don't know what mood they've been using. Maybe they don't. Maybe they just have loyalty from their fans. I think the City players, they appreciate it. And I think they appreciate it so much that they will do something very, very special. And that's what we're going to find out from the chairman of the club itself. We haven't spoken to him in a while, John Comitas. John, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome to the show.
Hey, Rob. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm as strong as can be. Did you enjoy your birthday a couple of weeks ago?
I did. Very much so. Thank you.
Happy belated.
Thank you, sir.
You sound energetic. You sound worried about life, or are you cruising?
No, I'm always cruising, eh? I'm preparing already for the new season and still a bit frustrated with the old one. And, it's the usual cycle that we go through at this time of the season near the end. You know, you're either jumping of joy or you're frustrated and getting prepared for the next challenge.
What's caused that, though? Because as I said in the intro, that at some point, you know, you were sitting pretty at second place and I thought, okay, you know, Cape Town City are going to have another great season. And then something happened.
You know what? I need to put my hand up here. I released four or five players. They were all senior players. They weren't getting much game time. But you can never underestimate the value of a senior player that has the club at heart and has the passion for the club. And even though he may not be playing 90 minutes or playing from the start as a starting player, he brings in a lot into the change room and he certainly keeps everybody else on their toes, especially the young guns that are up and coming. And what happened when we released these players, all these young players saw an opportunity to get their chance and they all stepped up. And after six wins in a row, I think everybody pulled out the cigar and think that they arrived. And came February when we had to start again. You know, there was not that same pressure around them that they had before. And, iffish results. Draw, loss. You know, and then you start realizing that the value of some of these players that they had in the change room. So I've put my hand up and we're starting to fix that. We're bringing a few experienced players back again into the squad for the new season. And the competition will be rife and I'm 100% sure we'll be back up there again and hopefully challenging for some silverware.
Tell me about those players that are coming back.
Well, it's not back. It's new players, but they've been
around the block.
You know, around the block. They're senior players at other clubs that have possibly served their time there and need a change, and some of them available now. So we're working around the clock to try and secure one or two. It looks like we'll have almost up to seven new players coming joining us. So competition will be rife. I think it's good for the results, and everybody must keep stepping up. You know, and that's the way we'll fix this.
Just whisper maybe one of the key signings that you've already concluded.
Well, I'd rather not. The season hasn't ended. It would be unreasonable for us to do that for whatever reasons. Teams are still performing. Whilst we're entitled to sign players when they're at the end of their contract, it would be unprofessional of us to allow that to be out there in the marketplace before they finish their season. So give me a week or two and then we'll be able to discuss these new changes.
So then the target will shift to, I guess, a top eight place. Is that a thing for you, John Comitas, this top eight?
No. You know, mathematically, we could finish fourth. And that makes a big difference for us because I think up to fourth position, there's an African Cup game slot, I think, Confederations because of the fact that Pirates and Sundowns already are in the Nedbank final and also the ones won the league. So it could be that up to four positions they'll be involved in Africa. So that's the first target. And the second target is also to spoil the party for Sundowns, to try and see if our last game against Sundowns, we can stop them from being unbeaten. That's another challenge for us. And the third challenge would be a top five position at least. And, you know, all things being equal, it's still okay. You know, not great, but still okay.
And then when you look at, you know, Cape Town City, yes, you've got Mayo, who you did manage to convince to stay behind. You know, he's clocked double figures as far as scoring goals is concerned, tied with, you know, Grobler in that position. Does it disappoint you that you don't have somebody who's a more consistent striker overall? I can say that for maybe all the teams in the PSL. But talking to you, is that a problem for you?
You know, I think in general we have a problem with strikers in this country. I don't see how it's possible that strikers can't get in excess of 15 goals in a season. And I think that should be the minimum. And I'm trying to understand what it is why we get to that situation. You know, we always blame strikers, but I think we have to also look at the last third entry, the quality of the players we have around the striker. How do you provide the service to the striker? Does he still have a lot to do, or is he just putting his foot to it like a lot of the Haaland goals, being at the right place at the right time and just tapping it in? So I think the challenge is bigger than just Mayo. I think if you look at all clubs, if Mayo's top goal scorer was 10 goals, then I'm disappointed. You know, nobody else has done much better than that. So where are our strikers in this country? We certainly have ability and skill in that. And I'm trying to put my finger on it as to why. And I think all clubs should be challenging themselves as to why. And that's why you keep on looking at foreign strikers, thinking they're going to step in here and do the job. And then you have other challenges. You know, there's acclimatization. It takes 6 to 8 months for some of these foreign players to adapt to the kind of game we play here. It's very quick. And sometimes you think they're going to play at this pace, and they can't. You know, they can't sustain the pace at which we play it. So, you know, there's a lot to be worked at in terms of strikers. And then there's a lot to be done at development level to improve that. Because, you know, it's something that if you lack that, you lack essentially the essence of playing this game, and that's scoring goals.
That's crazy, John, because, you know, the funny thing, when I was looking at that earlier today, and I'm looking at Ramabasa, you know, he's a player that's nearing his 30s, he's 27. You look at Ikram Reyners, I mean, he's also a player who's 2 years away from 30, he's 28 right now. And then you got Brad Grobler. Brad is 36 years old. He's got 10 goals. So where are the youngsters, and are these developmental academies, is that not working?
I think Grobler is a prime example of what lacking, because he's come now to the end. You know, he was at his peak 10 years ago, and he's still at the same level. And take a page out of his book, because he consistently has scored goals. And you can't say that a lot of our strikers, they have season wonders, and they score 10, 12 goals, and then the next year they battle away at 2 and 3 and 4. But I'm not going to point a finger at the strikers only. I think it goes beyond that. I think the way we enter into the last third has a big role in the way we're going to score goals in how. And to a large extent, Sundowns has got that more right, because they play a little bit slower. They play with a bit more control of the game as opposed to in a hurry. It's not about speed. It's, you know, most clubs play in a hurry, and it's a difference between playing in a hurry and playing with speed. And the thing is that they share their goals amongst a few players at the front, which is a good thing. It's a positive sign if a club can, you know, many players in the last third can score. So you're either going to find a real marksman who can continuously bang them in like a Haaland, or you have to have at least five players around the last third that can each get at least 5-6 goals. And if you look at our first season, why we did so well was Manyama, Ngoma, Jaia, Majoro. Every single one of them had more than 5 goals. You know, so now you can see why that team performed. So these are the players that are lacking in our last third attack.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to also point a finger at development and coaches.
Yeah.
You know, it's the end of the day, it's not just the players.
Sure. I was going to say, John, I think you and I, we owe each other time with the listeners, maybe an hour to just unpack a lot of what's happened in the season, a lot of footballing issues. And before I forget, I think the main thing as well that I wanted to bring on air before we do run out of time is the, you know, when players say, guys, you know what, you as fans, maybe we might have disappointed you, maybe this, maybe that. Tell us what's happening. What have the players decided to do and why?
You know, we discussed that, and I said to the guys, you know, you've got to think about when you've done and you've played your match and you've frustrated everyone, you know, you get into your fancy cars that you can afford and off you go, and, you know, you go home, you go and maybe have a couple of drinks somewhere, whatever you do. There's somebody sitting there cleaning your kit for another 2 hours. There's a driver taking the ball boys home another 2 hours. You know, there's fans that have to catch maybe a bus and a taxi to get home after watching you perform like this. I said, you owe these guys something. So together we decided that we'll cover the costs of running the game. You know, it's not a cheap exercise at the Cape Town Stadium. And they put their hand up and said, yeah, we'll participate. Let's give the fans, let us pay for whatever number of tickets are going to be arriving at the game. And hopefully we can get a packed stadium as to get the fans back here and say thank you, and we put our hand up, take responsibility for the poor string of results, and hopefully we'll finish strongly with 2 wins at the end.
Is that campaign gaining any traction?
We pretty much, the tickets are all out. You know, we book the stadium for a certain size. Being Richards Bay, we don't anticipate having more than 4,000 or 5,000 fans, but that's all out, and now we're trying to see how we can, you know, put out another couple of thousand tickets to make sure that everybody's satisfied. So it'll be a good turnout, and hopefully we'll put out a great performance as well.
And, I mean, I know you're a great marketer, John, just overall. What message, what lasting message, and maybe a little bit of hope that you want to leave with the fans, given the kind of season that you've had after you've had that gesture against Richards Bay?
Well, I can tell the fans that this club strives to grow from year, season to season. If we can't look back and say we're better this season than we were the last, then we're doing something wrong. So I can assure the fans that this was not something we will lie down and accept the way we finished the season off. We will definitely strengthen the squad. We're going to bring some exciting players into the team. And, you know, we still have aspirations for club bars and the stadium. Those things have not stopped. This club will keep on growing. And, you know, with that kind of support and loyalty that we've seen from our supporters, it keeps fueling us to keep on improving ourselves.
Just a quick one. Are you ready for a quick quiz? 1 minute.
Well, I'm not too good at them, but go for it.
Oh, you'll clap this, John. Trust me. Football of the season.
Ugh.
Just the name.
Yeah, that's Sundowns player, right? What's his name? Zwane.
Who? Which one?
Zwane.
Zwane, Temba. Okay. Coach of the season?
I've got to give it to Stevie Barker.
And if Sundowns finish a season that's never happened before without a single loss?
I've got to give that to Patrice Motsepe.
No! They've got a coach, though.
Yeah, listen, Relani is excellent. He really understands this game from a holistic approach. And look, obviously he's blessed with a nice big size squad that he can work out every game how he's going to play and rest players when he needs to. But don't take anything away. He's a craftsman, and he's very good at his job. And He keeps the flag flying. You know, we keep on getting interest for players in this country because of what the performances of Sundowns. So, you know, clubs are looking from all over the world into South Africa for players because of what Sundowns have achieved.
So, despite all of that, you're still giving it to Stevie Barker?
I've got to give it to Stevie Barker because with the material that he's got and how he's turned it around to become actually quite exciting football players. Short of saying that, you know, Relani can have it next year, because he'll do well again next year.
All right, John, catch up with you pretty soon, man, and well done to you. Well done to the players. Beautiful gesture. We'll catch up. We'll do a proper show soon.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks so much, John Komitas. Hi. Oh, yeah. Loaded, man. Loaded.
Fresh and relevant.
But a dive straight into manager Erik ten Hag. He says that Bruno Fernandes loves playing with Manchester United and that he values his contribution to the team despite the Portuguese's cryptic pitch side interview. Now, after that 3-2 win over Newcastle, Fernandes said, "I feel that the club wants me to be part of the future. If for some reason the club doesn't want me, I will go." Sure. I thought to myself, that I do not understand myself. But Ten Hag was then seen dragging Fernandes away from the interview.
To see the interview, it's maybe your interpretation. But what, as far as I know, what everything I know from him, he loves Manchester United. He loves the fans for Manchester United. And he loves to play for Manchester United. And so that is all I know. And you see, he gives always his best, and he's an example. Even with injuries, he's playing, and he loves football. But yeah, he wants to win, and I think that is how I do describe his character. And I'm very pleased with his performance and performances across the season, because for him it's not easy when so many people, players, are injured around him, and every time he has to carry the team. And but then for him, he keeps in a good level, and I would say even in a high level, and especially in the spring, he grows to, I would say, to a brilliant level, and I'm very pleased with it.
Well, the good news is that Amad Diallo scored his first Premier League goal and also assisted on another to power United to a victory over Newcastle at Old Trafford in a battle between the teams that are fighting for a European berth next season. So Ten Hag's team remained eighth on the table, but level on 57 points with seventh place Newcastle.
It's a victory, but I was pleased with the performance of the team. And it's always difficult to play for us against Newcastle because they are very physical, so we had to match this, but also then find the right balance by playing football. And I think in occasions we played football, we scored some good goals, especially the first one. I really enjoyed this one. There's a nice team goal, and also to the script, and that's very nice to see. And for the fans, is of course, it's a very difficult season, as for us, but one thing remained: they always stuck with us. They always kept with us, supporting us. So we are very pleased with that attitude of the fans. And you see the fans and the team, they are together. After the season we have had so far, I don't talk about proud. We are all disappointed with the season. And but still, we can win something. And we have to go for this. And but the first focus has to go to Sunday. We need a win there. And then we are dependent from Newcastle.
Talk about Newcastle. The manager, Eddie Howe, says, well, simple. His side should have done better. Now, the defeat sees Newcastle sitting 6 points behind Tottenham in their Premier League table and outside of the European football spots for next season.
We did have chances. It felt like we could score at any moment. Frustrated with the first half because you felt for all our good play and chances we had, we should have scored. Second half, of course, we scored two. But I think the thing that cost us the game is how we defended the goals. Now, I don't think we're under huge pressure tonight. I don't think that our goal was felt at risk, but we've conceded three goals. And the manner of those goals is hugely frustrating for us. Each one, I think we'll look back and sort of hang our heads, really, because we should have done better. And you score two away from home, you expect something from the match. Today's sort of too similar to other away games where we left feeling frustrated with ourselves. We left leave feeling that we're a better team. Not than our performance, because I think the performance showed we're a good team, but than the result. And we've got a deal with that for next year. I would say it's more the defensive side of the game that is different from the previous season. Last season we were great away from home defensively, a lot of clean sheets, maybe not true classic performances, but 1-0 wins. We've missed that this year. We haven't delivered anywhere near as many of those type of performances that you need on the road. And we have to look at why. We have to look at the personnel of the team. We have to look at the mentality of the group, because we should be delivering better than that. But the control we've got is our performance and result against Brentford. In terms of what will happen regarding Europe, I think that's now out of our hands. And yeah, we have to accept that after today. It doesn't mean there's no hope. There's hope, and we'll give everything we can till the last minute of the season.
Previously on Marawa Sports Worldwide.
We've got everybody from Nick Said, who's a freelance football writer, somebody I respect a great deal. Opta Jabu, the sports data analyst. Mtokozi Sidube. Is there even a debate when it comes to the footballer of the season?
There shouldn't be a debate.
So who should it be and why? Let's end the debate.
Ronan Williams for me. Ronan Williams, I think he's been exceptional. I mean, when you look at the stats, I mean, in the DStv Premiership, 19 appearances, 14 clean sheets. He's redefined goalkeeping.
Also with us, Nick Said, freelance football writer. Nick, he says it's not a debate, it's one football player. Do you agree?
I do agree. I think we can all go home.
Hashtag MSW.
Hashtag MSW.
Talk about something quite unique. Now, there's a couple of players with names and also last names as months. Sounds a bit strange, eh? You got a Jody February who sits at Mamelodi Sundowns. You got Tabo September as well as Eric September. And then there's my guest who's here. I'll give you a bit of a clue. One of the finest talents that we have ever exported as a country. Extremely underrated, in my opinion. He had so much quality and skill. I mean, he was a key fixture as well in the Bafana Bafana setup. Absolutely thrilled with these dazzling, nippy runs. Difficult man to pin down in any way. And also scored some classical goals. So his last name, it's the month that we are in. May we begin. Konja, what's your name?
Me.
Okay. Konja, what month are we in?
May.
Are we allowed to?
Yeah.
Good to see you, man. May Mahlangu, ladies and gentlemen, is in studio. Former Bafana Bafana, as well as Dinamo Bucharest midfield, and so many other clubs. I mean, he was on loan here, loan there, but he did fantastic work. We'll get down to that. How many interviews have you granted in recent time?
None.
Why?
I don't know. Because I'm back home, maybe. Because when I'm abroad, I get a lot.
Yeah.
But when you're back home and then it's surprising you don't even get one. Maybe it's the place where I stay, Kumpumalanga. Maybe we are not exposed to do interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that I can question myself, but you won't find answers.
But you drove, though. I mean, I got to thank you. You got into your car. You drove specifically from home in Mpumalanga to be here for the interview. And kudos for that. I mean, we don't take that lightly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pleasure. For me being here also, it's a pleasure. I'm humbled to be here.
What do you miss most about the game? Because I was trying to think, when did you step forward and say, ladies and gentlemen, I have now officially retired?
I haven't said so. I'm still available. There's a lot that is happening. When I started playing, my dream was to play in Europe.
Right.
Yes, and it's any player's dream to play in Europe. And yeah, that was my dream. Also coming back home, and I've thought about maybe avail myself to teams to play here in South Africa. But there's a lot of things that I question, and maybe we'll get to that. But there's a lot of things that I question. But
like what? What are you worried about? I know that, and maybe the background to the story, because you say you wanted to always play in Europe.
Yeah.
So when you went and joined Stars of Africa with Farouk Khan, yeah, and he had these sessions with all of the players, and he was asking players, where do you want to play? You guys were still youngsters, yeah, then. Yeah. And everyone was like, Chiefs, another one, Pirates, yes, and Chiefs, Sundowns. And your answer was Europe. You didn't even question that. You just said Europe.
Yeah, it was strange because at that time, I think we were at the age of 15,
yeah,
where Farouk Khan needed younger players and the older one to move at the academy. Mm. So he was asking each and every player where they want to play. And when he asked me, surprisingly, and then I said Europe. And then he asked me, how is that going to happen?
Yes.
From academy straight to Europe, I said, I don't know. But my dream is to play in Europe.
But what was the motivation there? What had you seen on television that motivated you to say Europe is your first and next stop?
When I was watching Manchester United, there was a player, Michael Owen.
Yes.
The way he was scoring goals, the way he celebrated, you could see the passion that he brings in the game. Mm. Also, how people love the game, that side. You know, you see the fans, you know, they are sitting, they are watching. You are supported by family, kids, you know. And in our football, yeah, in South Africa, you don't see that much. You see people who go to the stadium, celebrate, maybe drunk. They don't even see the game clearly, who scored, things like that. But that side, you see the focus. You see that these people, they are in the game with you guys that are playing. So that was my passion, that one day I want to be part of that.
Yeah.
And it just happened, because what you think, it's what you get. So my thinking was different towards other players.
But did he question that? Did he think you were just crazy, you were dreaming?
He knew that I was a leader.
Yeah.
And he knew that I wanted more from me. He knew that anything is possible, because he used to tell us that nothing is impossible. Mm-hmm. So I knew that from the day I met him, I knew that this is the best development coach. He can help me, because he helped so many players that he developed. On his way back when he was coaching Santos, Kaizer Chiefs, he developed a lot of players, good ones, talented ones. You could see that the guy has talent of developing players. So I knew when I set my foot at the academy that nothing is impossible for me. With the training that I was getting, quality training, I was excited to work with such amazing person, a father to me. Mm-hmm. And I knew from the start that my dream will happen. I didn't know who, how, but it happened.
And for your dream to kick off in Helsingborg, of all teams, you know, one of the biggest teams that part of Europe, you know, some players go through different stages, but yours was boom, slam bang there. What kind of life did you then find when you got to Helsingborg? Did you, after a couple of days, a couple of weeks, start to say, hey, you know what, maybe this was a bad idea, I need to come home, I'm missing this, I'm missing that?
No, it's simple, because when I got there, the coach that came to select me here in South Africa, Paul Nielsen,
yes,
a former coach of Helsingborg, he's the guy who scouted Isaac Chanza. By the way, I was playing with Isaac Chanza, the one who used to play for Pirates.
Yeah.
Yes. So when I got there, it was simple. The guy took me as his son. Firstly, it was very difficult for me to live there, because I couldn't see black people. I was alone. I felt like I'm lost in a country where I don't know nobody. You know, I was young. I was scared. Sometimes I would be scared to even go to the shop, because I was black.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
how is that a problem, though? Because I know it sounds strange, and people listening now would be like, "Huh? What's he talking about?" I remember interviewing the late Kalamazoo Ugone.
Yeah.
And he was a great in Holland, you know, played in Barcelona. And he even said that it was so strange to see a black person that, you know, the white folk over there would actually come out of their houses and take photos.
Yeah.
Because it was like a unique thing. This was strange. It's like, is this for real?
Yeah.
Did you have a similar experience?
Yes. You're more famous on the street than on the pitch, you know, because to them it doesn't happen so often that they see more blacks in maybe their country, especially in Sweden, because I've experienced a lot of things there. But going back to what you asked, the coach helped me a lot, and then I was staying in his house. And they loaned me to IFK Hustler Home, mm-hmm. IFK Hustler Home. And I was there maybe for 6 months to get used to Sweden. used to the lifestyle, used to the food, the people, how they think, how the culture of the country.
Yeah.
So I was there, and then that helped me a lot because of the coach that took me as a son. He was a father to me. So after 6 months, and then I signed with the first team.
Yeah.
Yeah, Helsingborg. And then the life started, and then it was easy for me to adapt.
All right. And I think as May Mahlangu talks, and, you know, it's the second time that he mentions a father figure. It's the second time that he mentions the coach as being a father figure outside of Farooq Khan. Maybe you want to know why. Questions or comments, do send us a WhatsApp voice note. Otherwise, you can call us directly on the line 011-883-8947. It's May Mahlangu. He's my guest here tonight on hashtag MSW Marawa Sports Worldwide. And as I spoke, you know, as we're heading to the break, and you were talking about a lot of father figures that you've had in your life. And I was thinking, maybe let's bring the context as to why that does happen. So I'm going to take you back because I know it was a painful period in your life, and you were very young then, right? And both of these happened in 1 year. It was 2001. So September was the month.
Yeah, September was
the month. Yes. Your dad passes away.
19. My daughter, she's born on the 19th.
Of September.
September, yeah.
The day and the date your dad passed on.
Yeah.
Sure. And then just as you are trying to come around to what has happened, and then you get to Christmas Day in December.
December.
Same year.
Same year.
I mean, I was even calculating. I was like, that's 96 days later.
Yes.
Then your mom passes away.
Yeah.
Whew. That, in essence, does what to a kid like you with dreams?
Yeah.
What does it do to you?
It kills you. It kills you. But sure. They say when it kills you, God takes something that you love so much.
Yeah.
And it gives you what you didn't expect. I call myself the blessed one for a reason. Because when he took my parent, I knew that he took them because of a reason. It was painful. But I knew that I would be the blessing in my family. So I was the blessing in my family, the blessed one. I was the chosen one because I didn't give up. From there, I knew as a man, I needed to get up, try to focus and push for a better life. Because in life, when you don't have parents, things become very difficult. You used to go to school, they give you money. You know, break time, you'll buy a lunchbox. But when your parents are not there, they will do it for a certain time. But as time goes, and then they get tired of that. And then the reality comes back to you that you don't have parents. So now you need to work for yourself. But my gran was there.
So Granny Joanna?
Yeah.
Is she still alive?
She's still alive, Kiki.
She must be 89 years old this year.
She's 91.
91?
Yes.
And she's still having conversations with you?
Yes. Normally.
Normal conversation?
Yes. But you know, with...
with age.
Age, yeah. Now the feet will swallow.
Yeah. The back, these knees. Back, and,
But then we do whatever that we can to take her in, you know, hospitalities.
Yeah.
And then to get health, you know. But
because
but
she looked after you. She was she was your backbone when you'd lost your parents. And now you've got to be her backbone.
And that backbone. And then somebody else had to offload it.
Yeah.
It was Farooq Khan by taking me to the academy.
Sure.
So if Coach Farooq didn't take me to the academy, then it was going to be a very, very a big problem for me.
So that was your life-saving moment?
Yes.
Him taking you across to Stars of Africa? So you indirectly saying that you could have been lost to the streets. You could have been lost to so much.
So much.
That happens.
Yeah, so much. Because my brother was lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, even when you are winning as an older brother, and then the younger one couldn't take it. And then you start maybe going with the wrong friends.
Yes.
You know, and you know people what they do. If they catch you stealing, you know what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
They discipline you. And you know with culture things also.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, there's a lot. But Coach Farouk was a saver for me.
But your dad, though, he was a big Kaizer Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
You grew up having to admire big superstars, Thabo Mooki, Dr. Milo.
Ace Kuse.
Didi Ace Kuse. And you actually went for trials.
Yes.
At Kaizer Chiefs.
Yes.
But those trials failed.
Yeah, failed.
How come? Who was there? Who was conducting the trials? Do you remember?
At that time, Coach Ryder, not the Fuking. Ryder. Yeah, Ryder Mfokeng brought me. I think there's Ryder Mfokeng, and then there's one who was coaching at the Vets. I don't remember his name. But the Ryder Mfokeng was there. Coach Floyd.
Oh.
Yeah, Coach Floyd.
Mokhal.
He's the one who brought me.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But then I went to the reserve side, you know, because we're at under 15, and then they promoted us to 17. 17, the coach, the Vets one.
Yeah.
Said, no, go and try on the reserve side. Ryder Mfokeng was there. But they didn't see anything. It can happen to anyone. It's football.
But do you think they missed a big chance though? Because I mean look at what you went on to play Europa or UEFA Europa League.
Yeah.
You went to play
Champions League.
Champions League.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. you fail a trial here.
Yeah.
Again, that is something that could break any kid who's at that age, around about 15 years old at the time, your dream is to play there. That's your dad's favorite team.
Yes.
And you almost want to indirectly reward him with that.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. It was a lot. It was very difficult for me. I failed the trials, but I knew that I didn't fail myself.
Yes.
When I failed the trial and then I had good news, that the Coach Farouk was leaving Kaizer Chiefs to start his own academy.
Oh, I see.
And when I was there with the players will talk. This coach is good in developing players. They will mention players like Bojabu Pule, Yonhlanhla Kupeka, Tumeleng Khune. Those players are developed by Farouk Khan at the time when he was at the Kaizer Chiefs development, promoting those young players to come and make Chiefs shine. So when he left, and then I knew that I have a chance of making it. So my aim was, I will go to that academy and try my luck.
And did you try your luck? I don't think you tried your luck.
Yeah.
Luck fell onto your lap because that projected you to the international stage, as we were talking earlier on.
Yeah.
You mentioned something, and that's why I've taken this journey with this conversation to say, you have not retired, but you've also been looking at your options locally. And if a club would want your services, you are available for that. But you said you have your reservations. You've observed a couple of things. There are things that you're not too sure about in terms of South African football. What are those things?
The structure, the foundation. Because when I look at all the teams, you know, they will ask you, you play here in Europe, you play there. But we don't look at ourselves as South African football, where are we lacking? Mm. But I think now Sundowns is trying to prove that anything is possible. You know, the foundation is very important. A lot of these teams, when you look at the inside, you see that the foundation is not strong. How you build a house when the foundation is not strong? Mm. So we start with the foundation. Foundation is a development. Do we have developments in these teams? You have a team that plays PSL, but they don't even have an under-19 or they don't even have under-17. They will tell you that they have the Discward challenge. Or,
yeah.
But it starts there with under-9 and then upwards. In Europe, why they are successful? It's development. Everywhere you go, you find kids playing football. Mm. Yeah, everywhere we go, we see kids are drinking, kids are smoking on the corners. You see people on the clubs and what. In Europe, everywhere you go, one important thing, they are supported by their parents. And yeah, until you make it, everybody is your friend.
And everybody's your parent.
Yes.
When and once you've made it. But yes. They have no clue.
Yes.
About how you got there.
Yeah.
They did not even buy you a pair of boots.
Nothing.
Not even a pair of socks. Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
And that's strange, though. So if I had to ask you a very frank question and say, if you had a choice right now of any of the 16 teams in the PSL that you would love to go and play for in the remaining years of your playing career, which team would that be?
We'll talk about the structure, professionalism.
Yeah.
I think there are two.
Okay.
Stellenbosch. Yeah, it's run like not big budget. Even the coach, very, very good coach, I think, in my opinion, because it's not given a big budget. The structure, the way they play, you know, it's got that something, you know. Yes. Yeah, people look at Sundowns. Sundowns, they have all the materials, you know. If you have all the material, you use it good, then you win things, you know. But then Stellenbosch. I think this team is something else. It's similar to European teams, your Helsingborg. And when you go there, you'll enjoy. You know, you'll enjoy because you see the team, everybody's working. It's the way they are playing also, it's similar to European style, you know. Why people don't they ask themselves, I don't say the person that I'm going to mention failed or what. He came back, he played in England. He was amazing, yeah. great player.
Yeah.
But he comes in South Africa, you don't see that. And then after 6 months, he retires. And then you must ask yourself why.
Remind us of that name.
Steven Pienaar.
Yeah.
He came back, but people expect a lot from him. But according to me, I saw the team that he joined for, the structure, the foundation, not there.
So you mentioned two.
Yeah.
You said two, but you've mentioned one, which is Stellenbosch.
Yes.
Is there one that is number two?
Cape Town City.
Right.
Similar also.
I was going to say, for similar reasons.
Yeah.
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 And that's a strange thing, though, because we were chatting in the earlier portion of the show to John Komitis. And I asked John, I said, who would he choose to be the coach of the season? And he said, Steve Barker. And I said, would you not choose Rulani? And he says, he would, but if you look at what Steve Barker has and what he has to put together in trying to be top, then you have to look at that effort and give him
the credit
for it. Yeah. You know, so it's interesting that you say you'd want to go to Stellenbosch and the second choice is Cape Town City because they have a similar thing. And John Komitis is a football man. He's a former player. Yeah. He's an astute businessman, a marketer, you name it. You know, so it's no surprise that a guy like Benny McCarthy went and coached there and made them a very, very talked about team.
Yeah.
You remember those days?
Yes.
Any game between Cape Town City and Kaizer Chiefs was a big deal. They go and play in Bombela. They fill that stadium by Thursday if they're playing on a Sunday.
Yeah.
That is what Benny did.
Yeah.
But are you in a state where if you were to sign tomorrow with any of those teams, you would be ready? Have you been training somewhere? Have you kept yourself busy?
You know, training alone, individually, it's not the same as training with the team. Obvious, you'll need to train with the team, field the ball, you know, get to know the players, get to know the team, get to know the facilities and all that. But what I've been doing in Mpumalanga, I've been training with the Vodacom team just to keep myself fit and then also assisting as an assistant coach.
Is that where you want to go? Is coaching your thing?
I think I can identify players. You know, coaching is it's another thing because you've got maybe let's say you've got 23 players and then only 11 needs to play, and I don't want to be that middleman where I say you don't play because of this and that, because we are all different. But then to assist and help with the experience that I've got in Europe, and then why not use it than sitting at home not maybe do anything, and then you try to help the younger ones. Because for me, being there, my presence makes the boys smile. And then, you know, it motivates them without me even coaching them.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy, but it's true. I can perfectly understand what you're saying. The we got so much, man. That's a problem when you disappear from us for such a long time. I'm like thinking to myself, my goodness, where do I go to next? Because I'm looking at the time. Yeah. But Bande on social media is asking something quite important. Says, can you ask me if, as a country, will we ever have a top 10 export of players as a country? So he's given me what has been listed as the top 10 countries who export the most players playing in professional leagues in 2024. So Brazil, I mean, they exported, just as a country, 1,338. France exported 1,091. Argentina, 995. England exported 586. Germany, 468. Spain, 451. Colombia, 433. Nigeria, 421. Croatia, 392. Serbia, 392. South Africa,
nothing.
Yeah. So that's what I'm asking, is that, and that's a good question. Yeah. I'll get your answer straight after the news. Digest that a little bit, and we'll also take a lot of your WhatsApp voice notes. Keep them coming through. Otherwise, give us a call, 011-883-8947.
Hashtag MSW. Hashtag MSW.
Oh, man, that's the final moments that I have with May Mahlangu, former Bafana Bafana, as well as Dinamo Bucharest midfielder, played in Europe, Champions League featured, Europa League featured. Hey, your name it has been there.
Good evening, Mr. Marawa. Good evening to May Mahlangu. Mr. Marawa, I think the month of May has brought some good luck to us as MSW listeners, because it's been a while since we heard about May Mahlangu, who happens to be one of my favorite players in that Bafana Bafana team. But what I want to know from May, Mr. Marawa, is since he has been playing his trade overseas, but back home there was always interest to him at 35 years of age. Don't he think that to come back home to finish his career will be a good option? I just want to wish him all the best in his career or in the future. Thank you, Mr. Marawa. Good show.
Hey, Smongeleni, thank you so much. May, over to you.
Yeah, I started playing in Helsingborg. Yeah. That was my first team. And in Helsingborg, I played 6 years. Overall, in Sweden, I play 7 years, because I also play for IFK, EFK Gothenburg. Yes, I played there for 1 year. So I love the country, I love the people there. You know, you are celebrated, not home, outside. So there, if I'm a legend of that team, where I contributed so much, that team, when May Mahlangu was not there, that team, it took them 11 years to win a league. And when I was there, they won the league with me. To prove that I was somebody important in the team, to win all the things that I've got there, your player of the season, best player of the year, best athlete of the year, you know, call of the season, all that. It shows that I contributed a lot. My wish is to go back to Helsingborg, where I'm celebrated, where I have done so much to them. So now it's time for me to go and reap the whatever that I plant, you know. So I feel that was supposed to happen last year, June, when Stuart was the coach, because I spoke with Stuart Baxter.
Yeah.
Yes, I spoke with him, and he was like, we're busy talking. Yeah, we'll bring you in board. We know that you have so much experience. You played in Europe and what, with these conditions. Contract condition and what, so I agreed. But when I was supposed to be moved to Sweden, and then the next thing that I had, they signed Alexandra, the one that was playing for Kaiser Chiefs. Yeah, and then they signed him, and then I was very disappointed. Not disappointed of the player.
Yeah.
You might laugh, but
no,
not,
just,
yeah,
just...
not disappointed of the player, but it disappointed of the decision that they make, because Alexander and I, we are in the same age. It's 35-35, and I'm the player that contributed a lot. I have statues. I have billboards in the stadium there.
Wow.
You know, so for me to go back there, it was going to be love, and brought by somebody who was one of the coaches that they celebrated here in South Africa, and who also wanted me when he was coaching Kaizer Chiefs. You know.
So what happened with that book?
I don't know what changed his mind. But then as time goes, and then I heard that his agent and Alexandra agent is the same. It's they're using a one agent, you know.
Oh,
so
I
something
see.
Like that. Maybe people they needed to benefit from my move. So I didn't go back. And that was gonna something great for me to go back because I wanted to retire there.
Cole Alexander.
Yeah, Cole and Alexander.
Yeah.
Yes. Cole Alexander, yes.
The you know, it's actually crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy what you're saying on so many different fronts though, because when you talk about how they appreciate you in Sweden at Helsingborg, when you talk about statues, name at the stadium, I'm reminded of a Sibusiso Zuma. I'm reminded of a Lucas Radebe. I'm reminded of the very same man that I spoke about earlier on, Kalamazoo Mukoni.
Yes.
All said the same thing. The Black Meteor, a movie about him. Street name, named after him.
Yes.
Back home, zero.
Zero.
Why do you think, as South Africans, we are allergic? Why do you think we are allergic to seeing good in people, celebrating good in people? But yet, when you sacrifice being away from home, being in the cold, at times foreign language, foreign culture, they celebrate you on your talent on the field.
Yeah.
In South Africa, people say, that's jailing on me.
Yeah.
You didn't come to Bafana Bafana, that's why, no, whatever.
Yeah. And bear in mind, when you are selected to play there abroad, and when you go, I will try to make sense on what I'm going to say now. When you go abroad, you go to a team like Helsingborg or any team abroad. Yeah. Remember, you're going to a country that you don't know anybody. You're not doing anyone's favor. They select you from your home, thinking you are good. When you get there, there are players that are there from their country. So now, if you go there, you take somebody's position, you are killing a chance of that player to even represent the national team, because they want the national team to be strong. So if you come as May Mahlangu, you are playing a midfield position, somebody from that guy is outside. Yeah. So that person doesn't have an opportunity to represent himself, to perform for the team, to be chosen by the national team. The national team that is going to compete with South Africa. So why will they bring you and make you so important if they don't need you? Or if they want to promote their players and make their national team stronger.
May Mahlangu.
Good evening, Robert. How are you, my brother? Good evening to May Mahlangu, Dynamo Bucharest player. May, you have done very well in our national team. Your name is a household name, and the courage that you gave our kids, it was out of this world, only by playing, my man. And then you are off the field things, I don't know. I don't know, my man, but I know you are a very great player. And even if you are still playing there in Dynamo Bucharest, please keep our flag very high. So
Moses Mokwena. Moses Mokwena, thank you so much indeed. We'll get response in a second from me.
Good evening, Mr. Rob. It's Willie Filang here, and good evening to the MSW Shoulders. And good evening to your guest there, May Mahlangu. Oh, what a football player. What a football player. I just loved seeing you play overseas, applying your incredible talents overseas, playing for the teams that you've played for. I just want to find out, have you found a club as of yet? Maybe my assumption is, maybe you do not want to retire from football. Maybe you have retired from football. And if you haven't retired, have you received any offer from any local club that would really, really want your signature? And have you considered playing for that particular club that maybe has approached you? Or have you retired from football? Because again, we haven't seen you in the footballing picture for quite a long time. So that is what I want to ask, actually. Have you been training off late? Have you been approached by any football club? Or have you simply retired from football? That's what I want to find out. Great show as always. Thanks.
Yeah, Hulu Falang, thank you so much indeed. I think even on social media, a lot of people still asking that question. Maybe give it a final clearance in terms of clarity for us. Where do you stand? Is it waiting for an offer, or you've made a decision that you'll just want to wrap up your time in Helsingborg, if that is a possibility? Just paint the picture for us.
Yeah, I haven't retired. I'm still available. I haven't received any offers from your home. As I said before, that my wish is to receive an offer abroad, especially in Helsingborg, if that possible. If not, and then any offer that comes, and then you open your hands, you take it, because it's football at the end of the day, you know. But my wish and goal is to go back to Europe.
Sure. Nkululeko on social media says, Rob, you know what, kindly convey my apologies to the talent that you're having in studio in the form of May Mahlangu. That in the light of him representing our countries, he's purely the victim of time, the dark hours that engulfs the administration of our football in episodes. You were saying something, and Nkululeko, thank you very much indeed for that. I'm with you 100%. We were saying off air, and you reminded me of a time that you were coached by the great Benny McCarthy. And I said to you very jokingly, and I said, that's quite interesting, because both of you guys were dubbed the bad boys when it came to Bafana Bafana. You know, the guys that turned down the collabs to come to Bafana Bafana. And the same thing happened with you. I don't know if you ever got a chance to clear your name for what happened back in 2014, because what we were being told is that you said you were tired, you were fatigued, you can't come for that call-up. And, you know, people started saying all sorts of nasty things about you, that you couldn't make it for the Sudan as well as the Nigeria game. Yeah, 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 this is unpatriotic, whatever.
Yeah.
I think this is the moment. You want to clear the air as far as that is concerned.
Yes, Rob. I think I did. But anyway, I'll go back to it. Me and the coach, we spoke, Sheikhs Mashaba, about it. And I explained something to him. And then I said, Coach Jim, what I didn't like is for you guys just to say things without maybe me meeting you. Because it was the first time that you called me in the national team and I didn't pitch up. But I've got a reason why I didn't pitch up. So he apologized. One of a nice person, you know. You know, in football, there's things for football, and then also, after football, you can sit with somebody and then talk, and then, you know, get to hear his side of the story. Yeah. And I explained to him, he said, no, but I thought you're this one of these players that are arrogant, you know, these players that, you know, think they made it and what. But when I get a chance to talk to you, and then I can see that you're a very nice guy, you are humble. You know, but I didn't know at that time.
Because that's the picture that was painted about you. Yeah. And I would always find it very strange.
Yeah.
Because I know we were just saying, I haven't spoken to you since even before 2019.
Yes.
But we would always keep in touch. You would always keep me informed about what's happening overseas.
Yeah.
And then what I read and what I know about you were two different things. I didn't get it. But hey, you know what? Let me go to the East Rand. Deboko standing by on the line. Deboko, good evening. Welcome to the show. Yeah.
To the legend, May Mahlangu.
Yeah, sorry, Deboko, go ahead.
Okay, May Mahlangu, I just want to find out from you straight to the point. You're from Mpumalanga, and how do you feel seeing that Mpumalanga for many years doesn't have a team in the PSL? Because I don't see TS Galaxy as a team from Mpumalanga, because they are often seen traveling between Gauteng and Mpumalanga through the N4. So I need to find out from you, how do you feel with the province not having a team at the moment and the talent that is there?
Beautiful
one. Deboko,
Deboko, thank you so much indeed. I saw you nodding your head. You agree with Deboko?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Mpumalanga has produced a lot of players. Sibusiso Mzizi. A lot of players that comes from Mpumalanga, Thabang Monare,
yes,
myself, you know. But for us not having a team there, it's surprising. What I ask myself also, does Mpumalanga want a team to be there?
Mpumalanga's hosting a final.
Yeah, they don't want.
But what about a team? Because remember, the team, one of the teams that you love, Cape Town City, is formerly Mpumalanga Black Aces.
Yes, yeah. So which means Mpumalanga don't want.
So you don't regard Tears Galaxy as a Mpumalanga-based team?
Yeah, but we need to have a team in Secunda.
Yeah.
You know, we find a good stadium, but where are the people to invest on that? You don't see those people.
Hey, Prarop, how are you, man? Hey, tell us. It's good to hear from you, Pra. It's been a long time, Pra. But I hope you grand. I wish all the players in Fanagiti were going to Funugans and Pilin and Pitun Kunukulaben now, a bossy and Pitu, see him by the same way, compared to us 2 2 8 5 4 air from food. So he's seen now behind you always. So his cards are with now on feet. Kumana Sean Togos and Badek. Ola Talas. Thank you, Prarop.
Ah, Sean. Thank you. Thank you very much. Noted, man. I want to quickly run to another message here.
Evening, Big Rob, and evening to Ume Mashango. I have a question for Ume Mashango. Since he's been saying that he's been trying to assist and help young boys in the Vodacom League, the last time I checked, I heard that he was part of E Secunda M Stars, who was part of the APC Mutsipe League. Having been part of that setup in the lower divisions and knowing the type of things that happen in the lower divisions, have you tried maybe assisting the Mpumalanga APC region in running?
Okay, I'm going to just cut that off because I want a quick answer from you. We're running out of time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you help? Lower division, you did talk about touching a little bit on coaching.
Yes. Yeah. No. He's asking about Secunda M Stars. Yeah. So I'm there. I'm helping there. There's a coach there. He was once part of SAFA, Fanyane Malalesa. So I'm helping him there, trying to, you know, to push these boys, maybe get the promotion.
Your coach of the season as well?
Sorry?
Your coach of the season?
My coach of the season?
Yeah.
Let's give it to Rulani.
Hashtag MSW, live on 947, Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.